As I mentioned up front, that services by publication, it is a very detailed process. The issuer asks the court to issue an actual notice that meets some statutory prerequisites. And then once that notice has been ordered by the court, the issuer publishes it. And it has the effect of personal service on all the people. This refers back to 023, which is the same list as 041, the taxpayers, the people living in the boundary, the people who have a right, title, and interest in money. The Attorney General is served personally because the Public Finance Division is always invited to these parties because they're just fun to have around. But you know, the Attorney General and public debt go together like peanut butter and jelly. So they're always going to be at the party. The Attorney General usually is not a particularly act, doesn't take a particularly active role in these cases, but from time to time they will. It all depends on your issues and your timeline. So again, the question of whether personal service is ever required is a maybe, and Ms. Powell talked to you about that. But what we really need to do is pay attention to the fact that 1205 has the pedal to the metal. It is supposed to be a fast track case. Quick resolution is a priority. And it says should be tried with the least possible delay. It even bars legislative continuances, which, you know, isn't an everyday tool, but it is something that can be used to delay a case and is occasionally subject to shenanigans. Now, what does it mean in practice? It does mean that if nobody shows up, the issuer can put on their evidence on that Monday next after 20 days and get the judgment. And if somebody does show up, then it still has to move quickly. I've seen cases with materially contested points go to trial in 90 days. And I mean, we've done a year's worth of litigation in 90 days. And I ended up taking a deposition on Saturday, December 26th, because that's how you cram it in. So we mentioned before the party opposing may have to post security. And this is really another mechanism to avoid delay. It's a financial incentive to avoid delay because, you know, sometimes it's a litigation dilatory tactic just to delay a project, see if you can kill it with a lawsuit. Well, that isn't allowed. You need to post a bond if there's going to be costs imposed by delay. That can be a very contested case, a very contested question, has its own hearing. Appeals. Appeals are a narrow lane with a fast track. And this section 068 tells us what you can appeal. And it's a short list. You can appeal the final judgment. You can appeal the order setting the amount of security for a delay or dismissing a party because the party failed to post the security. Those are the appeals that are listed. The appeals are accelerated. And the Court of Appeals is directed to rule with the least possible delay. I'll tell you, in our experience, these cases may get a little bit special treatment at the Court of Appeals, but they're not treating them particularly more quickly than in other cases. It even has a provision that you can even direct appeal to the Supreme Court, but honestly, there's not really great guidance on how to read that because it refers to the statute on direct appeals to the Supreme Court, which is it's limited. It's the basis of a grant or denial of injunction based on constitutionality of state statutes. I mean, maybe that might be an issue in a 1205 case, but it's not real clear whether the statute incorporates that limitation on direct appeals or whether it's a broad grant of direct appeal to the Supreme Court. So final judgment. It's final. Legislature means it. And really the interesting thing is that section, subsection 151, subpart B. It's binding as to each matter adjudicated and that could have been raised. How broad is that? It really hasn't been tested that we're aware of. Does that encompass the res judicata standard? Maybe. And it's binding against all comers. The issuer itself, it's binding against the AG, the controller, and every one of those types of people named in 23 and 41. So there's even more to the final judgment, though, and that is that it's an injunction against suit. We know those are kind of their own creature of injunction, but it functions as a broad and permanent injunction against any person filing a suit contesting generally any of the subject matter that we've already walked through and anything that could have been raised. So again, angry taxpayer, competitor, et cetera, a year later files a lawsuit, you can show up with that judgment in that additional court and file a motion to show cause. You're enjoined, and the court's obligated to enforce that injunction. Now, there are not a million cases out here investigating this statute. There are some, and I'm going to hand over to Mr. Powell to talk to you about some of the limits on the scope and the mechanisms within the chapter. And he'll tell you, as powerful as the statute may be, it's been interpreted in some ways that put some limits on it.